website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Palatka listens at 91.9. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you join us today as we face the issues. We'll be talking about a question. Was the 2020 election stolen? I'm not asking you to defend it, yes or no, but I'm asking you your opinion. Was the 2020 election stolen? I happen to believe that it was. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, President Donald J. Trump is now being charged with falsely publicly stating that the 2020 election was stolen. Listen, you might recall it, but in 2000, the Democrats were screaming, stolen election. Hillary Clinton claimed the election was stolen in 2016. Nobody was prosecuted for saying that. None of the political candidates. Hillary Clinton certainly was not. But Donald Trump, because he's exercising his freedom of speech, the First Amendment, he's being persecuted and prosecuted with a mega major attempt to prevent him from being the 2024 presidential candidate. I believe not only will he be the nominee for the Republican Party, though I believe they will at the last minute try to prevent that, they meaning the Republican Party, but I believe he'll ultimately be the candidate. And I believe if the election, and that's a big if the election is not rigged as it was in 2020, 2022, Donald J. Trump will be the 2024 elected president going into office January of 2025. That's my most humble opinion. We'll talk about that for the first half of this broadcast today. Then we're going to make a transition and talk about some local political issues that are taking place that I believe that everyone listening needs to understand what's happening and become involved. But ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is this. When we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. The written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God has the final authority. Not me, not you, not some denominational dogma, not some political rhetoric, but the Word of God. In fact, in Proverbs 29:2, the Scripture says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. And you've heard me say many times, I believe we're in the state of mourning in America, whether we recognize it or not, as a result of what is taking place from the Oval Office through the DOJ, the FBI, the CIA, the NIH, the DHS, the IRS, all of the three-letter departments in the federal government. I believe they've been weaponized against the conservatives, against every Christian, against every patriot in America, and it's being vivified in their attempt to eviscerate, to totally annihilate, to completely destroy Donald J. Trump. As he has said, and I am in full agreement, it's not Trump that they're after, but we the people that the loose, lax, lost left, the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democrat, Communist Party, is after our Bill of Rights. First and foremost is the First Amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you we do so, as I said a moment ago, based on the Scripture. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, made this statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made. Thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, truth of the Lord, that is the truth of the word of God, is not here today and gone tomorrow. It's not something that is viable today and is without value tomorrow. It holds forever. But yet, George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, better known for his dystopian novel entitled 1984, published in the late 40s, said this: the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. Anything that Trump says is considered a falsehood. Anything that the socialist Marxist media says is viewed as the gospel. Anything that Joe Biden says is not questioned. Anything that we can find coming out of the conservative movement, and what little that may be, if I could add that footnote, coming out of the conservative portion in D.C., it is considered a lie. In fact, the socialist Marxist media is not saying anything, mums the word, silences the word about the Biden family cabal and their committing treason in selling America. Yes, selling America. And yet the media is protecting Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. The latest, ladies and gentlemen, they're saying that Hunter Biden shouldn't be charged. Hunter Biden shouldn't be prosecuted because, after all, Hunter Biden is still suffering the loss of his brother years ago. And as a result of that, he went into depression. He went into drugs. And he's just now being rehabbed. And so we ought not to charge him with any wrongdoing. Now, if that had been Donald J. Trump, any one of the Trump sons, any one of the Trump family, all of a sudden they would have been prosecuted and put behind bars by now. In fact, with President Trump, as you know, he was impeached on two occasions. One of the occasions was because of a legal, legitimate, honorable telephone call to Zelensky in the Ukraine, talking about corruption. And ladies and gentlemen, the fact that that is true, that there was major corruption with money being laundered through the Ukraine for the Biden family cabal, absolutely, totally says that the prosecution and the impeachment of Trump was a lie. Now, we knew that, but this is being vivified and verified today. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, and we do so based on truth, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. Headline I'm looking at: DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Jim DeMint said this: what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. We need to be very, very careful of what we embrace and call it truth. We need to be very, very careful to recognize what is really taking place in society today. And listen, let me just say this. I believe that we have too many Christians today that have been lied to, deceived, brainwashed into believing that the Christian ought not to have anything to do with the political realm. By the way, it's not politics. It's called civil government. And in civil government, God created civil government as God's ordained instrument. Romans chapter 13 is very, very clear. Verses 1 through 7 points out the fact that God set up civil government as God's servant. And as God's servants, civil government is to prosecute evil and to protect good. We have it totally reversed today. Totally reversed. It goes back to Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, and I'll paraphrase for our grasping it. The Bible says in Isaiah 5:20 that there'll come a day when right will be called wrong will be called right. And that's what we see today. Evil will be called good and good evil. We see that today more than ever in the history of America. And one of the problems we have with that is that about 55%, according to the latest survey, 55% of the Americans that are 18 to 35-year-old age group, that is the millennials, about 55% of them, 55% of them say that truth is as it is seen in each eye of the individuals. This is their quote. Each person determines their own version of truth. And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not the case. Each person does not have their own version of truth. It is simply truth, and there's no variance or shades of truth. It's all either truth or it's not truth at all. I believe we need to recognize what the Bible says in relationship to truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says this: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I challenge you to do that today, ladies and gentlemen. Learn the truth, love the truth, live the truth, defend the truth even to death. I believe that is the charge for the Christian, the conservative, and the patriot in these last days in which we're living in. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions in relationship to the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the Beltway, 295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But ladies and gentlemen, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our telephone lines are open. That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Was the 2020 election stolen? Did Joe Biden win the election? Did he really get 81 million votes and have more votes than Donald J. Trump? I question that. And ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the fact that the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party, up and down challenging like the hair's on fire, as though Trump has done something with a major prosecutorial aim, simply because he's challenged and questioned. I'm looking at writing an article. Individual says this: think of it this way. If Smith can indict Trump for speaking out about the election, for arguing that it was stolen or rigged, then rest assured the DOJ under the Biden administration could indict every one of millions of Americans who agree with Trump about the 2020 and said so publicly. Smith could probably indict me for writing this article, this writer said. Further, the article states, forget about Trump for a minute. This indictment sets a terrifying precedent that puts all Americans at risk. If the prosecution of Trump succeeds, it means the First Amendment is dead in America. It means you're not allowed to have opinions that contradict the Justice Department's own narrative. And if you do, You better not have the temerity to run for high office, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, I agree with that writer. The fact that the Trump prosecution is predicated on, emanating from the idea that he has no First Amendment right. And I am challenged by that. And I believe every Christian, every conservative, every patriot needs to recognize the danger that it sets the precedents for. I'm looking at a headline, Alan Dershowitz. Of course, Alan Dershowitz is a constitutional attorney. He is a law professor emeritus from Harvard University Law School. Alan Dershowitz. Jack Smith could face indictment if Trump wins the case. Reading in the article, Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz said that special counsel Jack Smith could himself be indicted if the indictment of the former president is thrown out. Smith secured a four-count indictment of Trump relating to his efforts to contest the results of the 2020 election after he previously secured a 37-count indictment against Trump in June based on an investigation into allegedly allegations surrounding classified documents, which was supplemented with a superseding indictment issued on Thursday. Quote, you know the worst thing about this indictment? Under the terms of this indictment, Jack Smith can be indicted. This is Dershowitz speaking. Let me explain to you why, Dershowitz says. The statute says the following. Two or more persons conspire to injure and deny somebody the free exercise or enjoyment of their rights or privileges secured him in the Constitution. What if the court ultimately rules that Donald Trump had a right under the First Amendment to make the January 6th speech and to do what he did? Then Jack Smith will have conspired to deny him that right. That's how serious this prosecution against Trump is, according to Alan Dershowitz. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline, mega article, 8 or 10 pages. Trump's lawyer says the third indictment opens the doors to more scrutiny of the 2020 election. Now listen very carefully. This is a mega article that goes into serious detail about what the DOJ's just done. I believe if you use the Youngblood vernacular, they've just shot themselves in the foot. I believe they just opened Pandora's box. I believe they have just done an open and closed case that vindicates President Trump. This article says the third indictment opens the doors for more scrutiny of the 2020 election. Critics charge the DOJ with attempting to criminalize political disagreements. The third indictment of former Donald J. Trump could produce unintended consequences for the Department of Justice, one lawyer says. The election disputes culminated in a protest in Washington. A number of agitators breached the U.S. Capitol January 6, 2021, against President Trump's express wishes, as Congress was preparing to certify Mr. Biden's victory. More than 1,000 people, including some who committed no violence at all, were charged. The DOJ is alleging that Mr. Trump orchestrated a conspiracy against the U.S. government during the 2 months leading up to January the 6th, 2021. The bottom line, this article goes on to open Pandora's box, that because they have added that layer to the indictment, that will allow the Trump team to bring out facts, figures, details, testimony, and issue subpoenas to those in Arizona, in Georgia, in Pennsylvania, and what they call the battleground states, to verify and to validate that inequities, illegal actions, false ballots, and fraudulent election took place. So I am encouraged that that's been done. And it's my prayer, and it should be the prayer of every conservative, every Christian, and every patriot, that in the end, we'll have the victory and the protection of our First Amendment rights. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning. I pray that you're doing well.
Doing good. Doing good. How's that go again there? Open up a pit for someone and you fall your cell phone into it when you're opening it for someone else?
Absolutely. The scripture says you dig a pit for someone else, you're going to fall in. If you roll up a stone and want it to roll back on somebody else, it's going to roll back over you.
Yeah. That's kind of reminding me of that. I do believe that Robinette Biden there did get 81 million ballots, but however, he probably in actuality only got about 50 million votes. He You got to give him his credit for the grifters and the and a diehard with a D. But 81 million votes, no, sir. No, sir. And Hillary Clinton herself, everybody that will give her time on a public television or radio, she's still whining about 2016.
She's still whining about 2016. And, Jim, you may be familiar with this, and I'm not that familiar with it, but I scanned an article, did not print the article out, did not examine it. But back in 60, if I'm not mistaken, there was a major fiasco with an election, and the Democrats even went to court challenging it, with the Democrats trying to insert Electoral College votes, a substitute list of Electoral College votes. The very thing that they're now claiming that Trump was trying to do, they actually did. I believe it was 60, 61. It was in the, I believe it was 1960 election. The Democrats just went totally haywire and brought it to the courts trying to challenge it. And now because Trump did the same thing, then all of a sudden he's guilty of some mega, mega charge that should prevent him from being a presidential candidate. Are you familiar with that?
No, but I do know of in the earlier years, I think the early 1800s, that there was one election where they did send the electorate back to the states, and then the Congress themselves voted for the president. And I want to say it was, I cannot remember the that election year or the names there, but it was won by one vote being cast in the House of Representatives, because there was issues with the actual vote itself. So I know constitutionally it does have a provision there for those types of situations. Well, obviously until this new law that they just came up with after 2020. Gee, imagine that.
And Jim,
I
one
can
of the things
up for you though later. You
do
know.
That. One of the things that is fascinating also. Spineless Mike Pence is now on the talking circuit, saying that he took little fragments of notes to himself, et cetera, et cetera, and he's claiming that he did not have the authority to change the trajectory and the direction that the election was going in. And in fact, here's the thing. If he didn't have that authority, why is it as we speak at this moment, the Democrats are pushing a bill and the some Republicans going along with it that will close the loophole so that the vice president would not have the authority to change the direction of the election. And yet Mike Pence says he didn't have that authority. If he didn't have the authority, why are they trying to close this so-called loophole that gave him the authority? That's my question.
That just screams of do as I say, not as I do. That's all
Absolutely.
It does to me.
Absolutely.
A lot of this stuff nowadays doesn't require – let us reason amongst ourselves here. I think Paul says that too there, that it doesn't take a lot of reasoning ability to figure these out. You just got to follow the money and put some basic truth questions to it, and it becomes very apparent. And anybody who is not doing that is only either they're indoctrinated or they're lying to themselves. And either way, it's not good to be.
No. And from a Christian patriot position is the position I take. We need to be concerned about our First Amendment rights, because if Donald J. Trump is ultimately found guilty, it destroys, it eviscerates, it wipes out our First Amendment right. And for every Christian, for every conservative, for every patriot, we need to be vitally concerned, because there would be no freedom of religion, no freedom of speech. We would only have the privilege of saying what the king says that we can say. And we've gotten away from that a long time ago, in my opinion. I don't think we need to regress and go back to being under the thumb of what the government might say or the government might do, and trying to adjudicate what is good speech and what is not good speech. In fact, with that being said, I'll read a brief portion of an article and then get you to respond to it before we let you go, Jim. Headline, Trump prosecutor actually targeting all Americans. A column by John Daniel Davidson of the Federalist is warning that while Jack Smith's court papers named Donald J. Trump as defendant, the DOJ prosecutor actually is coming after every American voter if they support President Trump. He wrote, quote, "The idea that the Justice Department can indict someone, especially the sitting president's main political rival, over free speech that's protected in the First Amendment is simply insane. It puts us firmly into a banana republic territory where tin pot dictators jailed their political opponents ahead of election day to ensure their reelection. Simply put," this writer says, "this indictment is nothing more than a declaration of war against every American voter and the constitutional liberties that we have in our Bill of Rights for free speech," end quote. What's your take on that? How do you respond to it?
Yeah, it's litigation that shouldn't even be occurring.
That's right.
This is nothing more than a kangaroo court. Also, it does not bode well for several sectors of the society. Anybody who has a differing opinion than the mainstream would be one. Christians would probably be at the very top of that list, because who then determines what speech is correct speech? The scarier part about that is that if you look at the way the Constitution is written, it only takes two-thirds of a or a majority vote to change something constitutionally. And these individuals now that call themselves Republicans are really just kind of go along to get along and being more milquetoast than they are being, you know, this is the way it should be. And they're not standing up for their, you know, the people they represent. You know, part of the Constitution preamble says that by consent of the governed, and mm-hmm. they're governing against consent a lot of times.
I think we've totally eviscerated that portion of our declaration. I think that we have absolutely gone astray when it comes to what the government. It's gotten to the point, Jim, and you see that, where it's what the king says is what goes. We elect people, send them to either local, state, or national office, and then they become entities in and of themselves, wanting to tell we the people what to do, rather than following what we the people say they need to do and what we elected them for.
I think
that we're in trouble as a nation along those lines. Jim, thank you so much, brother, for your
thank
call.
You.
Looking forward to what God's going to do as we keep looking up. God bless you today. I believe we have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, concerning the 2020 election, of course, Democrats cheated and Trump won. Concerning the 2024 election, if there's no cheating, Trump will win. But, of course, Democrats will cheat again. The problem is whether the GOP will accept the cheating again.
That's
they just never support Trump as they should.
That's right. Well, that was the problem. As you know, Derby, back in when Trump was elected in 2016, took office, sworn in January 2017. And for 2017, 2018, we had the House, we had the Senate, we had the Oval Office. And yet people like McCarthy and others prevented Trump from carrying out what he wanted to do in cleaning the swamp. I believe it's because most of these rhinos are part of the swamp.
Yes, I used to think that Democrats were liberal and that Republicans were honest. But now I know Democrats are communists and the Republicans are all hypocrites, and they have been lying to us for many, many years.
Absolutely.
It's hard to fight when both parties are against you.
That's it. That's the whole problem. In fact, I've said for years, we need to go back to one day for election, not a month, not 3 weeks, 4 weeks, one day for election, paper ballots, eliminate the Dominion software and hardware, go back to the paper ballots, go back to individuals counting them, and even if we have to have a national holiday where everything is closed and everybody can have the freedom to go vote, I believe that's the only way we're going to have any chance of winning in the future. Derby, hang in there for the top of the hour news. I want to talk with you about what's happening locally with some of the politics, just like we see on a national level, some of the skullduggery taking taking place in our own city, and it's coming emanating out of the Republicans. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. An attempt to make it more difficult to amend the state constitution has gone down to defeat in a referendum in Ohio. Had it passed, any constitutional changes would have required a 60% margin instead of a simple majority vote. The outcome of the referendum makes it more likely that an abortion rights amendment on the ballot in November in Ohio will win approval. There's a court hearing on tap Friday on the special counsel's attempt to muzzle former President Trump. Mr. Trump, though, remains defiant, insisting he will continue to speak out on the charges that have been brought against him. Mississippi's Republican Governor Tate Reeves has defeated two primary challengers, clinching the Republican nomination for a second term. At least nine people have died after a fire broke out in a vacation home for adults with disabilities in eastern France. Wall Street, the Dow down 1 point. This is SRN News.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE. For Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as we see the deceit and the intrigue taking place on a national level, being played out before the eyes of the public with the false prosecution of Donald J. Trump by the Biden administration, and don't make a mistake, ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake at all, it's Joe Biden himself that's behind the scene making the determination. I believe that Joe Biden, along with Barack Hussein Obama, making the decision, and the DOJ is simply a puppet for the Biden administration in the false prosecution of Donald J. Trump. Some of that same skullduggery, some of that same false deceit is taking place here in the city of Jacksonville. I'm looking at a headline that says Democrats, Jacksonville Mayor Donna Deegan, picked a former Republican city council member, Al Ferrero, to run her neighborhood's department. Yet there are stirrings that the same city council will not approve Al Ferrero's nomination. Quote, "I don't think he has the votes," said one highly placed Republican source, end quote. We have on the line with us Derby. Derby, are you familiar with what's taking place? Just give us a little brief scenario in relationship to the past election, mayor's election, what took place, what it redounds to today, who's the mayor, and what has been, who's been nominated and why.
Okay. What I know from experience, I attended a lot of political events, and I listened to all the candidates. And during the primaries, I heard from the conservative grassroots candidates, the people that you and I supported, the people that lost the election. Usually they lost the nomination or they lost the general election. So those candidates said to the audience that during the primaries, they were getting calls from the Republican establishment being told not to run now or to withdraw. So they didn't want the conservative grassroots candidates to run. They wanted the establishment candidates to run. And who is the establishment in Jacksonville? The Duval REC.
Mm-hmm. And with the Duval REC, you've got Dean Black heading that up. He's now been elected as a representative for us, for the city, or for the our district in Tallahassee. And here is the picture. Now, I can set the stage, Derby, and have you interact with it. And then later we'll have Raymond also interacting with that. But here's the picture. Donna Deegan is a non-political background, Democrat, former television news media anchor, and Donna Deegan won the election. The election, Derby, I believe, was won by Donna simply because of the evisceration that was being carried out by Daniel Davis, trying to undermine and destroy Al Ferrero and other candidates. And as a result of that, he lost the election. And because he lost the election, he, speaking of Daniel Davis, behind the scenes now, they're trying to prevent Al Ferrero. By the way, Al Ferrero, for our listening audience, Al Ferrero was District 2 City Council representative for two terms, 8 years, did a phenomenal job, loved by his constituents in his district, and has the capability and the opportunity to run that department. But here's two things, Derby, and your take on it. Some of the Republicans are all upset because Donna Deegan has reached across the aisle, as the old cliche goes, and she's appointed a conservative Republican to run one of the major departments in the city of Jacksonville. We'll talk about the size of that department in just a moment. But as a result of that, some of the Rhino Republicans are against Al Ferrero. Some of the so-called Republicans, if there's any difference in our city, now are against Al because they say, their position, the Republican city councilman, say that it was Al Ferrero that kept Daniel Davis from being the mayor. And he was one of the fair-haired boys that was supposed to, was viewed as being the next candidate, the next mayor for our city. So what is your take on that? What is your thoughts as to the reason, the rationale behind the Republicans wanting to prevent Al Ferrero's confirmation? And then after you've answered that question, I'm going to ask Raymond. Raymond is on the line also. Raymond, I want you to join in the dialogue and discussion after Derby has had an opportunity to speak.
Well, I believe that in addition to trashing Al Ferrero by Daniel Davis, having Leanna Cumber as another Republican in the primaries was a way to take votes away from Al Ferrero, and so Al Ferrero would be in a lesser position to compete against all the money that Daniel Davis had. If Cumber had not been in the race, Al Ferrero would have gotten that, the people who didn't like Daniel Davis, and he could very well have been the nominee, Republican nominee. But I think that either the Rhinos or the Democrats put Leanna Cumber in place to take away from Al Ferrero.
Raymond, thank you for joining us on the broadcast today. Raymond, what is your take on that? What do you see forming, shaping up, taking place? Number one, let me say this for the two of you and for our listeners. I commend, I offer kudos to Donald Deegan, a Democrat, for appointing a high-profile, highly qualified, well-recognized citizen, conservative, Republican for an office over the neighborhoods department. So I could give kudos. You see, it's my position, ladies and gentlemen, that we may not stand together on all of the issues that we will see coming down the pike in the days, the weeks, the months before us with Donna Deegan's mayoral office. But I believe that when she does something right, we need to say thank you. When she does something wrong, we need to challenge it. There's no question about it, whether it's a Democrat or Republican. Raymond, how do you stand on this? What are your thoughts? What do you see that's brought us to this point today with this crossroads that we're at?
Right. And thanks for having me, Dr. Youngblood. So what you've just said, and I agree, you know, we all know that we may not agree with the majority of the policy issues from Mayor Deegan, but she's there, and she was elected by Republicans that could see through the establishment and those that were going to continue this political mafia that's been running the city for the last 8 or 10 years, and those that either crossed party lines or those like myself that simply left the ballot blank, that refused to vote for the political mafia that only pretended to be Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
See, many people say, oh, no, no. Well, Daniel Davis is nowhere near as bad as Donna Deegan. And in some ways, maybe not. But in the majority of ways, he absolutely was. And you could argue that Lenny Curry, you know, he governed as a Democrat. I can take you to the HRO that he signed, that he looked the pastors in the eyes and lied to. He removed the statues, raised the taxes, all this stuff, BLM, marched with BLM. Everything that liberal Democrat Donna Deegan would do, they were doing. And that's because we're controlled by a mafia. So the point is, you know what? Look, we disagree with Donna Deegan, but guess what? This is the best and brightest spot, the one thing since this election that she has done that is tremendously good and a benefit for our city, is to put Al Ferraro in this position. You know, we often say that people may be wrong, but sometimes people are sincerely wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the way you got to look at Donna Deegan. I'm starting to think she's just sincerely wrong in her values and policies.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she has it. This is crazy to say, but she literally, as a liberal Democrat with so much wickedness, yet has more of a desire to actually serve her community than the other candidate in these absolute control freak mafia group that's being headed on the other side. And so she's done a great thing in Al Ferraro. And
yes,
we all know Al. We've talked about him, you know, numerous times. He's been on your program. I hope he can come on here soon and talk about this. But so Al is a public servant, as you said, that has everybody in his district loved him.
Yes.
And in this position, of all positions, is the one leadership CEO role of a heading a department that touches many departments that trickles down to we the people the most. When you've
yes.
got problems and you call the city for potholes or streetlights that don't work or crime or blighted houses or whatever it is to get something done in your neighborhood, that's the department. And
absolutely.
He is the man,
Raymond,
that has the heart to serve the people.
Raymond, hold your thoughts for just a moment. Hang in there, mm-hmm. and we'll continue the thought. Derby, want to ask you a question. Is Al Ferrero qualified for this job?
Of course he is. He was qualified to be mayor. So why not be qualified to be director of neighborhoods, communities, whatever the title is? And I don't like Donna Deegan, but if she does something right, like appointing Al Ferraro, of course I like her appointment. So I don't have to like everything. I could just like one thing. So good for Donna Deegan. And I agree with almost everything that Raymond said. Everything.
Al, Derby, here is the thought that I have. I'm looking at the neighborhoods on the website for the city of Jacksonville, the neighborhoods department. It includes environmental quality division, mosquito control division, municipal code compliance division, housing and community development, office of consumer affairs, neighborhood and property administration. This is a huge responsibility. I'm told that it covers about $700 million in city tax money for running that department on an annual basis. So it's a very, very important. But I'm looking at a hit piece by A.G. Garnaski with the Florida Politics, which is a rag newsprint. Garnaski says this: one of those concerns is that Al Ferrero, a landscaper by trade, lacks the credentials that the city's municipal code requires to run the department. He has a bachelor's degree or higher is required from an accredited college or university, at least 5 years of experience in an administrative executive position. Now, my position on this, Derby, and then I want you to respond. I'd like Raymond's response. Then we'll take our other caller, that I'd rather have a person. Garnaski said, he's just a landscaper. He runs a landscaping company. He has mega hundreds of thousands of dollars of annual payroll. He employs dozens and dozens and dozens of people. He led District 2 for 8 years superbly with a seamless oversight for his district and handling that. I'd rather have an ability person with an ability than a fistful of credentials. We had a recent mayor that had credentials but didn't have the ability to run our city. Raymond, what are your thoughts on what I just said?
I agree 1,000%. Listen, I would much rather have a man that, however old Mr. Ferrero is, mid-50s, late-50s, whatever.
He's a young man.
With the experience. I mean, listen, if you knew, I just spent the last 6 months canvassing his district for his replacement, Mike Gay. I can tell you, we knocked, I don't even remember, 25,000-30,000 doors. And the voters there love Al Ferrero and overwhelmingly voted for him. And they know that he's capable. So I don't need a 22, 24-year-old kid that has no experience in life that's been brainwashed by a secular college because he's got a degree to come out and tell people what to do. Al Ferrero knows how to run a business and communicate with his constituents.
Raymond, I'll second that motion. Right. Raymond and Derby, hang in there just a moment. We have Troy on the line. Troy, go with your question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, good to speak with you.
Thank you so much for calling.
The second on something that Raymond said, I spoke to many individuals that works for JEA, and they said they were crossing party lines and would be voting for Donna Deegan simply over Daniel Davis's stance on the sale of JEA. So there was numerous people in the city of Jacksonville that crossed over and voted on the Democratic side of the ticket to make sure that he did not get elected.
That's right.
You're exactly right, 100%
correct. I know
correct.
Some personally that did that. That's right.
I know many, many, many high-profile, what we would call staunch, dyed-in-the-wool Republicans that voted for Donna Deegan because of their enormous dislike for the rhino, the one that felt that he was deserving the mayor's office, Daniel Davis. So, again, Troy, as I've said a moment ago, we need to give kudos where kudos are deserving, and I believe Donna Deegan deserves kudos. My recommendation, Troy, and for Irby and Raymond. I believe we need to encourage our listeners to call the mayor's office, thank her for the appointment, and ask her to hang in there. Do not give up the fight, because as I understand it right now, the majority of the Rhino Republicans in the city council are saying they're not going to vote to confirm Al Ferrero for this position. Mm-hmm. They've already set the stage and behind the scenes trying to say that they're not going to vote for Al Ferrero's confirmation. It has to be confirmed. But here's the position that I take. And, Troy, perhaps you could give your insight on this. I believe that Donna Deegan has the authority as executive leader for the city of Jacksonville to make an authoritative ruling, even though the charter says that it must be confirmed by the city council. I believe she can make an emergency appointment on a temporary basis, and that temporary basis could be the full 4 years of her term. What are your thoughts on that? Are you familiar with that at all?
Well, I believe that you can create an emergency status and overrule that and put him in office, yes. I do believe then they would have to the Rhinos would have to get together and then call a second appointment to be had, and I don't know that they're able to do that.
Well, it is my prayer that God will intervene, because I believe that it would be a grave injustice for our city to see a qualified man be dissed as the attempt is now. But, Troy, thank you so much for your call and for your input. Derby, let me ask you a question. You know, recently, not just with this that's come up now that's on the agenda for the confirmation of Al Ferrero, but I believe that there's something else that recently has taken place. I'm looking at a headline that says, Donna Deegan administration nixes the city contract with the former mayor's new employer. The article reads, the city of Jacksonville has severed ties with a lobbying firm it had contracted with for years to advocate on the city's behalf in Tallahassee and Washington, D.C. Mayor Donna Deegan's administration abruptly cut ties with the Ballard Partners on Monday, exercising its right to terminate its early contract early. The decision came just 2 weeks after the lobbying firm, listen, came 2 weeks after the lobbying firm announced it had hired Jacksonville Mayor Lenny Curry. What's your take on that? What's your knowledge of that area?
That's pure cronyism and corruption. And I'd like to say something about the college degrees. I spent 38 years teaching as a college professor at FSCJ, now Florida State College. And did I meet a whole bunch of uneducated, ignorant college professors? So a bachelor's or even a master's or a PhD means nothing, especially today. Degrees in education or women's studies is a waste of time.
Absolutely.
Colleges do not teach anymore. They indoctrinate, and everything is supposed to be fun and games instead of hard work and studying, as when I went to school.
Absolutely. Raymond, what's your take on that? Do you believe that she made the right decision in relationship to nixing the contract with the Ballard Group? What is the Ballard Group?
Yeah. So that is the second best decision. So she's already made two good decisions to our surprise. Again, we got to keep looking at the silver lining here. That's a great decision. I think it's just something that was deserved. So the Ballard group, you got all these high-powered lobbyist groups. There's Southern Group, Ferentino Group, and different ones, different power players in town. These guys operate in multiple states. So this particular group was lobbying Jacksonville, Tallahassee, and D.C. and all over the place. Some of them even have offices in Israel. I think this one did. I can't remember, but I know I've seen several of these lobby groups that are in foreign countries. So these are multi-million dollar lobbyist groups. And so, basically Mayor Curry comes out of office, they just give him the little lobby job. He can sit at home, play on the telephone. They build vacations around business trips. They're getting six- and seven-figure salaries. So all he's doing is sitting around playing games, whining and dining his buddies and giving more contracts to, you know, all this corruption that happens. And again, that's exactly why, this is the point I want to make real quick with a little time we got left, is for your listeners to see that this is about power and control. And even though Al Ferraro is the best person for this job, the political leadership, the so-called establishment, the Mayor Curry and Daniel Davis and Duval GOP chair Dean Black, who's a total fraud and liar, you know, these guys are in these consultants, the Tim Baker and Alexander Pantanakis, and these that are recruiting these candidates, they're the ones that are, they are this mafia, and they're controlling everything, and they don't want what's best for you. They can't control Al Ferraro and manipulate all them city departments and make political decisions and say, no, you can't do this over there because we're mad at this councilman and we're not helping him in his district, which is exactly what goes on. And so, you know, they want to continue their power trip and control. So they don't want Al Ferraro. And so they don't care anything about you, the citizen, or the city. It's for them and themselves and their own money, power, and control.
Absolutely. Derby, we've got a couple of minutes. What are your thoughts and wrap up of what our listeners need to do? What should the average hearer that's listening to this broadcast today, what should they do? How should they respond? Should they call the mayor's office? Should they call the city council members? What are your recommendations?
They should do everything you say, and I agree with Raymond, everything he says. It's a tough call, and maybe the answer is make a temporary appointment and make it last 4 years and to heck with it.
That's right. I agree with that. Who's the chairman, the president of the city council this term?
The president of city council is Ron Salem.
Ron Salem. Ron Salem at COJ.net. I believe that our listeners need to call these city council members, District 2, Mike Gay, District 3, Will Lanahan, District 4, Kevin Carrero, District 5, Joe Carlucci, District 6, Michael Borland, District 7, Jimmy Peluso, and then Reggie Gaffney for 8, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I believe each of these need to be individually called and poll them. How are you voting? Why are you not voting? And challenge them to vote the will of the people. And the will of the people is for Al Ferraro to be the head of the department's group for the city of Jacksonville. I believe that we need to also have people calling the mayor's office and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for a wise decision, for appointing a conservative Republican that is capable of carrying out the job. Thank you for appointing him. And ask the mayor, please don't toss in the towel. Please don't give up the race. Fight until Al Ferraro is confirmed. Raymond, you've got the last word. What would you say to our listeners today?
I would repeat again, pray about it and get on the phone, COJ.net. I don't have all the info in front of me. I'm out working, but please call your city council folks. Some of these establishment guys are the worst ones. You know, Terrence Freeman, he needs a phone call for sure. You know, all these establishment, but COJ.net, reach out to your council person. Tell them you want Al Ferraro in that position.
Absolutely. And if there's any blowback from them saying that he's not qualified, ask where is he not qualified. If you talk about the credential, i.e., as Derby just said, a credential from a modern university today is just about as worthless as it can be. In fact, I know people with PhD degrees that are painting houses because of the worthless degree that they have. There's a need for a qualified person. Al Ferraro is qualified. He has the experience. He has the background. He has the commitment. He has the moral, ethical standard, and he's the one that can carry out the task. And I believe what's best for the city is what we need to stand up for and ask our political leaders. Donner Deegan, say thank you for doing that, and for our political city councilman to say vote for and confirm Al Ferraro. Derby, thank you for joining us today. Raymond, thank you for joining us on the broadcast
today.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we praise the Lord for you. We're thankful for you joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida.